Lawyer customer accuses me of committing fraud because the price tag was wrong. Turns out he's my father-in-law. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. I was working the register one day when a customer comes up, and everything about him tells me he's one angry customer. One I won't be meeting again. Or so I thought. He's pretty much huffing and puffing before I even say hi. And something tells me I'll know why in about 2 seconds. Our store is very focused on customer satisfaction, and we'll do just about anything to get them happy. So I put on a smile and greet him. Hi there, did you get an order number from one of my colleagues?
This is outrageous. I shouldn't have to bring the price for the item I'm buying. This is unacceptable.
As I'm taking the paper with his order from his hand, I ask, I'm sorry, what happened? His raised voice now is gathering some interest from other customers.
I visited your website and the price there is $10 less than it is here in the store.
I'm very sorry. We probably haven't changed the price tag yet, but the price of your order is the same as online.
That doesn't matter. It's fraud.
But the price for the product you're buying is the same as the price online, and if it hadn't been, we'd be more than happy to match that price. I'm sorry for any inconvenience, but this is the same price you saw online, no?
That's not the point. It was more expensive. You should tell your manager. You're committing fraud.
My patience is starting to wear thin. Sir, I am the manager, and we'll always match the price you find online, including prices from competitors. But sometimes we have special deals online. We don't claim to always have the same price online as we do in our store. And if you as a customer find the same product anywhere else and tell us, we're more than happy to give you that price as a thank you for giving us your business. If we did promise to have the exact same price in our stores as we do online, but didn't, that would be breaking marketing laws, but it would not be considered fraudulent. I used to study law and usually I would just smile and nod, but now he's screaming and a line was forming. So I had a vain hope that he would calm down if I spoke to him.
Not fraudulent? Are you serious? I'm a lawyer. I've driven here all the way from my house in
affluent town area.
And don't you think I know what fraud is? You have no right to tell me I'm wrong, and I'll go to the papers with your fraud.
After this, I just gave up. He was on his way out the door, still screaming about our fraud, and I took a deep breath and turned to my next customer. Fast forward 2 months, and I'm long overdue to meet my significant other's family. And as we've moved in together, it's about time. I'm nervous as heck, because I'll meet them all at once and I don't know anyone there. But as it turns out, I've met my significant other's grandfather before. I don't know for sure if he recognized me. My significant other says he probably didn't, but I'm sure he did. He brought up having bought a tablet a while back, and his eyes went straight to the floor when I was asked what I do/used to study. So I'm pretty sure he recognized me. I didn't bring it up, and I don't think I ever will. It's just too awkward. What do I say? Ask him how his latest case went and wink? Thankfully, at least I don't think I'll ever have to face him as a customer again. When you work in retail or any kind of customer service and you have an interaction like this with a customer, you really hope you're never going to see them again. Especially not outside of the store. Finding out that they're actually related to your significant other is just a whole new level of awkward. I think that there was some kind of silent agreement between the two of them that they just wouldn't talk about it. Maybe Grandpa was having a bad day and was just letting it out at the wrong person. He does seem to at least be embarrassed about what happened, if he did in fact recognize our original poster. So at least he knew that that behavior was wrong. Some scam artist pretending to be Apple support calls to try to lock my computer. This happened last month. I've gotten 6 phone calls in the last 24 hours from a number listed as an Apple store in California. I pick up and I get a pre-recorded message stating that my iCloud account is being hacked, and that I should press 1 for technical support. I'm skeptical, especially as I don't own any Apple products, and I don't have any iCloud, iTunes, or iAnything accounts. It's obviously a scam. The first time, I hung up. The second time, I asked the tech what they needed, and played a little dumb as they tried to direct me to a tech site that would let them take control of my computer. They hung up on me. The third time they called, I was at work, and went to the website they directed me to and kept repeating the website code incorrectly to them, repeating directions wrong, and just generally being confused. The dude is screaming at me to repeat exactly what he says, and finally tells me I'm not allowed to ask questions, even when I try to clarify which account is hacked or what's going on. He tells me I'm too mentally handicapped to do this, and hangs up on me. The fourth time I get a call from them, I tell the guy it's the fourth time he's called, and ask if he's proud of what he's doing. I ask him if his mother's ashamed of him stealing from people. He hung up. The fifth time I go ahead and let him log into a computer system. I've set up a spare laptop with a virtual machine that I've loaded with every virus, toolbar, pop-up ad, and other crap I can find. If it was a horse, we would shoot it. It wasn't logged into any admin account, so he trashed a few files and rage quit on me. The sixth time, I let the tech, it was a different guy each time and I could always hear others in the background, log into my virtual machine and encrypt some crap. He demands $200 to unlock it. I cry, sob, and beg, and finally open up my wallet and get my credit card. I misspeak and mix up my numbers enough that he gets ticked off and taunts me. I finally suggest I take a picture and email the pic to him so he can read it. I get an email he types on screen, and I send from a throwaway account the file credit.card.jpg.zip. Apparently, when he clicked on the file, he got infected with some crypto virus. The buddy who gave me the file told me it was a form of Petya, but I've never actually opened it to find out. Apparently, he encrypted and locked his computer system. How did that happen? My personal wondering is if his computer was on a networked environment or if they were isolated from each other. All I know is I didn't get any more phone calls after that. It's stories like these that make me wish I knew how to do stuff like this. We all wish we could stick it to the scam artists that spam us with phone calls. Unfortunately, all most of us can do is ignore them or maybe pick up and mess with them a little bit. But our original poster actually managed to mess with their system, which, let's be honest, is what all of us want to be able to do. We all just want to shut these guys down. Seriously, get a real job and stop scamming people. My mother literally starved herself to death for attention. My mother was a horrible person. As an example, she once told me my father was going to die after he'd had a heart attack, but she'd already found out from the doctor that he was going to be okay. I was 8 years old at the time, and it was done simply to make me cry. But in her later years, she had CODP, and my sister and I, who both hated her and had good reason to, had to nurse her for 9 years until she passed away. My father had done the bulk of her caring until he passed. In these years, she did her best to cause trouble for as many people as possible, but mostly the two of us. Fortunately for us, we'd worked out the way she'd try, and would often be able to head her off at the pass. We had a deal between us that if she went too far, the offended party could take a break from looking after her and the other would pick up the slack for a few weeks until the air had cleared a bit. In 2008, she'd really offended my youngest sister's daughter, so she took a break. My mother then pulled her usual stunt she had when she felt she wasn't getting enough attention. She starved herself until she was so ill she needed hospitalization. I got a phone call from my sister one morning telling me my mother had phoned her and was so very ill, and she wanted my daughter to go to her house and wait with her for the doctor to come. In other words, she wanted attention. My sister asked me to do it, and I did, but I decided to take a book and read it whilst I was there. It was a very apt book that I picked simply to get revenge on her, as I knew she'd be too nosy not to ask what it was about. It was a hardback book with the title written very boldly on the cover.
When a child kills, abuse children who kill their parents.
I sat and read it for 3 hours beside her sick bed until the doctor arrived. After she saw the title, she barely said a word the whole time. The doctor arrived and told her she wasn't ill enough for the hospital. Amazingly, within a couple of days, she was a lot better and didn't pull that stunt again for about a year. In 2010, I was having a break from her and she did the same thing to try to get my attention. This time she went too far and ended up with kidney failure and passed away. Whilst registering her death, the official asked if we needed any extra copies of her death certificate, and I said, "Only if you have a framing service." Yikes. Honestly, I'm not really sure how to respond to that. I guess I'll say that I understand our original poster's feelings, and that I'm sorry he had to go through all of that to begin with. Typically, you say stuff like you don't want to speak ill of the dead and she's your mother and whatnot, but let's face it, it seems like she actively was trying to make their lives worse. I can't blame our original poster for saying good riddance. I left a coworker stranded an hour away from his home after he decided to steal from me. This guy I worked with asked for a ride home after our shift. We both live in the same town, so I said sure. He said after work he had to get some things at a store close by. Work ends, we get in my car, and I needed to stop for gas. I get to the gas station and fill my tank. I paid by credit card at the pump. After I'm done filling my tank, I hit the yes button for a receipt, and the machine says I must go inside for one. I go inside and get my receipt. I get back in the car and I drive to the store. When I get to the store, the coworker gets out and says he'll be back in a few minutes. After a few minutes of waiting, I notice my cup holder of loose change is empty. I'm ticked and thinking, who does he think he is to steal from me after I was doing him a favor? I think, screw him, he can find his own way home, and I drive off. The next day at work, he confronts me and calls me a jerk for ditching him like that because he had to wait 5 hours to get picked up. I say to him, I hope the 5 hour wait was worth the $3 change he stole from me. He ends up telling all our coworkers I ditched him for stealing $3 from me. The coworkers all gave me crap for it, so I ended up quitting the job a week later. No, I don't blame you. I would have probably done the same thing. You're going out of your way to try and help this guy out, and he's gonna pull a move like that? What's worse is the coworker's actually defending his behavior. I'm sorry, I agree that it's a matter of principle. It's not about the amount of money. It's about the fact that you're a jerk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
My boss really wanted to fire me. Instead, I got away with years worth of salary. I'm a 100% disabled vet, but I still wanted to work for as long as I could. I worked in a large company that contracted to many of the big oil companies. For years, I had excellent reviews and the customers loved me. My manager got promoted, and one of my coworkers became the newly promoted manager. He started out fine, but then as he went through management training, he became that boss that people hate. He was trying to flex his muscles by using all the usual tricks of setting you up to fail in order to fire me and a couple of others. Why? I have no idea. One day at work, I had a major medical emergency that left the right half of my body with no feeling at all, completely numb. That took me out of the office for several weeks while they used steroids to try and help sort out the issue. A couple months and an MRI and spinal tap later, they discovered I had multiple sclerosis. After I was diagnosed, he decided to pull me out of the customer site and have me work in the office. My job had zero office work. I spent nearly a year in the office getting paid to do stupid, mind-numbing crap while he tried to figure out a way to fire me. Since the initial issue was medical, it proved to be very difficult, so he would try to assign me to long-term duties. Like 6 months, hundreds of miles from home, knowing that I couldn't do them. He was also nitpicking any menial task I didn't perform to his liking. He knew I couldn't travel as I have to see several doctors every month, and I can only refill medications from my local veteran affairs clinic. While he was trying to fire me, I was talking to HR about my disability and how it's obvious that I could no longer perform my job for safety concerns. That was the reason my boss pulled me into the office. I also informed HR about how the manager treated me and several other employees. They had me do several things, including sending my medical records to a company medical doctor to make sure I was being honest, I assume. In the end, HR decided to put me on pre-approved early retirement with short and long-term disability. Now I'll get paid from the company till I'm 67, all before he could get the chance to fire me. Additionally, several other coworkers quit around the same time as me, and a short time after I left, he was replaced by a different coworker. Thanks, boss! I'm sure if he really wanted to, he could have found a position that you were capable of doing. Instead, he's trying to pull something sneaky to get you fired. Little did he know that two can play at that game. I'm really happy for our original poster on this one. Seriously. A lot of the times, this doesn't go their way, and they end up getting shuffled aside like some kind of trash. Instead, our guy managed to get out of this completely taken care of for the foreseeable future, which is great for them. I blamed my parents for my short height and inability to date. I, 20-year-old male, am 5 feet 3 inches tall. The rest of my family is average to tall. My dad is 5'10", my mom 5'6", my brothers are 5'11 and 6'1". When I was 11 or 12, my doctor told my family that my pituitary gland was malfunctioning or acting unpredictably. So in the coming years, it would either stop producing growth hormones altogether really quickly and leave me short, or it would overproduce and I'd be tall, 6'3" plus. It was impossible to predict which one was going to happen, and they suggested hormone stabilizing shots that would ensure normal growth. My parents have been and are still wealthy, and had no issue paying for these, but they said I had a chance to become very tall without these shots, so I should take it. I said I'd rather have the shots, because I'd rather guarantee I'm average than a 50% chance of being incredibly short. But they didn't listen. As a result, I stopped growing very early, and I'm only 5'3". My parents and siblings always make jokes about it and how I don't have a girlfriend, which makes me angry, because it was quite literally their choice that led me to the situation in which I don't have a girlfriend and am short. This past weekend, they visited me at college and started making the same jokes. So I got angry and shouted at them that they can joke all they want, but the reality is, I'm in this situation I'm in because they made the choice they made. My mom started crying, and my dad got angry and said I was being a huge jerk. Am I the jerk? I gotta go with our original poster on this one. Your parents had the opportunity to make sure that everything was at least normal for you. Instead, they chose to flip a coin with your life. You even clearly stated what you wanted, and they chose to ignore it anyway. To have them come back and start firing jokes and insults at you because of it is just completely uncalled for. They needed to know just how insensitive they were being. It's not your fault that your mom couldn't handle it. Maybe don't be such a jerk next time. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything linked in the description.